New Testament book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6. I'll be reading verse 10 through verse 20 responsively this morning. I'll begin on verse number 10. You'll join me all the way through verse number 20. Ephesians, chapter 6, beginning in verse number 10. Ephesians 6:10, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." And read with me verse number 20. "For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for America. Lord, we thank you for your hand of blessing upon this great country. Lord, today, as we remember those that served and sacrificed, Lord, for this great country, Lord, may we not forget your sacrifice that you made for us on Calvary. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross, Lord, and thank you for paying the price, and Lord, thank you for being our sacrifice. Lord, today, Lord, as we remember that, we hear the word taught this morning, we hear the word preached through your man, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Lord, we yield ourselves to you, we glorify you with all that we do and say that today, and we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Here in Ephesians 10, or 6, I want you to keep your Bible open. I'm going to teach you a truth today that I'm excited about preaching. It's one that you men especially will enjoy, but you ladies will enjoy in a different way. But I think I can help all of us. Of course, today being Veterans Day, we honor. It's interesting. You say, how come the flag's at full staff and not at half staff? Veterans Day is not a memorial of a bad thing. It's an honor. It is an honor to honor those who have served. Right. It's not in reference to those who have just died. It is in those to all who have served. And thank God for our veterans, those who have given their lives or part of their life to the protection of our country. We have a free nation today because of men and women who have sacrificed their time and their life to serve us.
Right.
Now, I say that we live in a very passive mindset in our world today.
Right.
Our society is a bunch of wimps.
Amen.
Nine Americans were murdered by a drug cartel in Mexico this week. Now listen to me very carefully. Three or four of those were babies. All women and children. Our president contacted the president of Mexico and said, you need to declare war on those drug cartels. Thank God for a man in the White House that's a man.
Amen.
He doesn't wonder which bathroom to use.
Amen.
President of Mexico responded back to the president of the United States by saying this, war is terrible and needs avoided at all cost. We will give hugs, not bullets. Well, I don't care how many hugs you get, nine American lives aren't going to be fixed by hugs.
Right.
The president of Mexico is unwilling to fight the fight that is needed.
Right.
By the way, That shows the condition of our world today. Christians have seemed to become even more and more passive. Let me say that again. Christians have become more and more passive. Christians are going around claiming peace, peace, when there is no peace. Matter of fact, in the book of Jeremiah, it said they would say, peace, peace, when there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. You see, peace is not the absence of battle. Most people think tranquility is peace. Tranquility means everything is calm and smooth. Peace is not that. Peace is a result of victory in battle. We got to the end of World War II and we signed a peace treaty. We made the losers sign the treaty saying they'd quit fighting or we're going to decimate them.
Right.
When the Japanese refused to sign the peace, we dropped the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki and told them two more were coming to Tokyo and they said, we'll sign it. It was not a result of no battle. It was a result of battle. So peace does not come because of an absence of opposition. It is a result of war. Now, by the way, Christians have quit battling sin and wrong so long that Christians are now a bunch of pussyfooters. They're as weak as a puppy and have no peace. I'm so thankful that we have a God that's a warrior.
Amen.
Let me say that again. I'm thankful we have a God who is a warrior.
Amen.
God is not some wiggly little passive twit letting everyone step all over him.
That's right.
Brother Juan owns me a pizza. It's actually his alarm to wake up. It's about 10 minutes late, Brother Juan. All right. Now, listen to me very carefully here. We don't have a God that is a little wiggly little wimp.
Right.
Jesus did not walk the earth like Hollywood wants you to believe.
Right.
He didn't wear a long robe and have long flowing hair and fold his hands together and talk very quietly and say, just love, love, love. Folks, you go to a Palm Sunday and they strewn palm branches and said, Hosanna, Hosanna. But do you know what he did on Palm Sunday? He went into the temple, made a cat of nine tails, and kicked over the money changers' tables and kicked them out of Dodge, whipping a whip behind them. And you wonder why 4 days later they crucified him. Say why? Now, some little wimp doesn't do that. Big tough fishermen don't leave their boats to follow some guy that wiggles when he walks. Peter and Andrew and James and John didn't leave the fishing business to follow some guy that wiggled when he walked. These were tough men. You see, one thing's for sure, God's never lost a battle. God doesn't fight often, but when he does, guess what? He's on the winning side. Let me rephrase that. He is the winning side.
Amen.
God may be slow to anger, but he does get angry. God's won every battle that he entered. God understands warriors and God understands veterans better than we may think. God is not some tired out old man sitting on a throne in the clouds. God is the God Almighty. All might, all power is given unto him. You see, he is not just the God Almighty, but he is the Lord of the hosts. That word hosts is a military term. It means soldiers. In other words, nobody knows better how to solve conflict than God. They laughed at Ronald Reagan when he stood at Berlin in 1987 and said, tear down this wall, Mr. Gorbachev.
Yep.
But 2 years later, they brought him back when they tore it down.
Yep.
The world in our Congress laughed at him and said, "What are you doing that for?" Just like they laugh at our president now. Liberals have always wanted to quit fighting. Mr. Cuomo is dead wrong. Mr. Cuomo said if he gets in office, everybody's guns will be taken away, including the police. It shows how stupid he really is. Now, listen to me very carefully here. You say, "Well, you shouldn't use the pulpit as a political platform." Somebody's got to say the truth.
Amen.
Who told you that? Yeah. The very ones that want to take your guns away because they want to be the oppressor. "Well, we shouldn't talk about religion or politics." Yeah, and look where America's at. We've got communists running for president. Bernie Sanders. Elizabeth Warren. Pocahontas. I'd like to poke her in the hauntus for sure. Folks, you don't understand how close our country is to destruction in our world. Thank God we have a God who will never lose a battle and never has lost a battle. We Christians don't need to be passive about Christianity. We don't need to be wimps about Christianity. Matter of fact, we ought to be like God and a little bit more like a warrior. You're not going to go fight a war somewhere and say, "Okay, let's sit down and talk, and you put your arms down, we'll put ours down." No, it's king of the mountain. The guy with the most power wins. I love what General Patton used to say. He said, "Don't you die and be a hero for your country. Make some other sucker die for his country and let him be a hero for them."
Amen.
We don't need dead heroes. We need live warriors.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to teach you a truth today that I think will help you. And I want you to look at the Bible and see what God says. Point number one, God has armor and makes his armor available to us. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to show you something here that I promise you most of you have never seen before. Look at verse number 11. "Put on the whole armor," what's the next two words?
Of God.
Look at verse 13. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." I want you to notice something. It does not say the armor from God. It says the armor of God. In other words, God wears this armor. It is his armor. But can I tell you something? He made his armor available to us.
Amen.
Just like our military has armor and they make it available for all of the soldiers that need it for battle. God has an armor that he wears. Now you can go to your little Christian bookstores and go to your little nincompoop little preacher churches that, we're going to talk about the armor of God. And they have a statue there or some kind of coat of armor, and it's got the helmet of salvation, and it's got the breastplate of righteousness, and it's got all of these things, and they polish it up and use it as a display model. Can I tell you something? God's armor is not for display, it's for war.
Amen.
You don't have armor to put it up and show how pretty it is. It's there to protect the soldier in battle.
That's right.
You go out and buy a bulletproof vest and hang it up in your house and say, "I have one." It's not going to do you any good if you go into battle.
That's right.
If you don't put it on, it's not going to work. Guess what? God not only has armor, it is the armor that he wears, and he made it available for you and for me.
Amen.
God says there is an armor that he wears that makes him bulletproof. Because guess what? He's never lost. Notice it says the armor of God, not the armor from God. It is literally the armor that he uses. Then what is it? Verse 14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth." In other words, truthfulness. Your loins are your strength. That's your midsection. It's where all of your strength is. You lose your loins, you have no strength. Look at verse, on the breastplate of righteousness. That's where the ticker and the lungs are. Verse 15, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Wow. God says that is his armor. That is what he wears in battle. Guess what? I would say if God himself wears it, we ought to take a lesson from it.
Amen.
You see, if God needs armor and he's perfect, he's holy, he's almighty, what chance do we have without it? We wonder why, as Christians, we fall like we do, but we refuse to wear the armor that God's made available to us. Folks, I don't know about you, but I think it's time that we put our armor on.
Amen.
But not our armor. How about we use the armor of God?
Right.
Can I tell you something? You could put on any armor you want. But Brother Larry, it's not going to, we can put on a bulletproof vest, but it's not going to stop the devil.
Right.
We need God's armor.
Amen.
You can put on all the camouflage you want. You can put your ghillie suits on and you can put whatever you want on, but guess what? It's not going to work against the devil.
Right.
You have to use God's armor to fight a spiritual battle. And may I say this, this spiritual battle is bigger than you think. I want you to look at something. Look back at verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the tricks, the powers. Look at verse 13. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Do you know what they call a local government? They call it a principality. Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are the battles that this armor is good for. It's not against flesh and blood. I'm for the right to carry your weapon, but you're not going to shoot at the devil and hit him. It's not going to work that way. If it was, we'd have shot him a long time ago. Trust me. Many times. Daily, just to make sure. In other words, we sinners think we have a better way than God because we try to fight the devil on our own. And it's not going to work. I don't care how tough you think you are no match for the devil.
Amen.
I am no match for the devil. Most of you have never faced the devil. Now, you've faced evil powers, but you've never faced the devil face to face. Well, unless you looked at Ellen. Now, wait a minute. She knew it was coming all along. Don't feel sorry for her. Now, wait a minute. We're in a sinful body. We have a sinful nature. If God, who has no sin, who is no sin, who is truth, who is righteousness, needs armor, how much more do we need it?
Amen.
God's not getting old, we are.
Right.
Did you ever notice man pictures God as a white-haired old man? Because we're thinking through sinful flesh. God wears and uses his armor. May I say something? The armor of God's got dings and dents in it. It's been in battle. It's not a museum piece that is never been touched and never been used. Man's weapons and man's methods are no match for the devil. By the way, man's methods and man's weapons are no match for God.
Amen.
That's why you need the Word of God, not man's words.
Amen.
The wrong Bible means this. You don't have a sword.
That's right.
You got a fake sword. I'm not going to battle with a plastic sword. You can have all the lightsabers you want, but I'm not going to battle with it. Because the first time a real sword hits that thing, you done. You dead meat. You can have all your little laser swords, you know, do things that you want. It's not going to do in battle. You need a real sword.
Amen.
I just happen to hold in my hand the sword of the Lord, the Word of God, which is what he said. Matter of fact, it's by the Word of the Lord that Jesus fought the devil in Matthew chapter 5. When he tempted Jesus, he said, Scripture says.
Right.
Scripture says. It is written in the Scripture. Guess what? You battle the devil with Scripture.
Amen.
Not your own power.
Amen.
That's why you've got to have the right Scripture. Everybody doing okay? Well, that's just Old Testament. Guess what? God wrote it all.
Amen. That's right.
Number two. I must hurry. God shows us how to use this armor. Get your finger ready. Lick it. Don't lick somebody else's finger. You might get something on your tongue you don't want. Psalm 18. We're going to look at just a few verses here. Psalm 18. Look at verse number 34. The Bible says this. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in mine arms. Huh. He teacheth my hands to war. He's talking about God here, folks. God knows how to teach your hands to war. Psalm 144. I'm going to show you another verse here. And there's so many of them that we're not going to have time for. Look at Psalm 144, verse number 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Guess what? That means there are some things we're supposed to battle for.
Right.
We're supposed to stay strong enough to fight for. 2 Samuel 22, verses 35, verse 40. Don't take time to turn there. But in 2 Samuel 22, verses 35 and 40, talks about the Lord teaching our hands to fight and teaching us to war a good warfare. May I say something? We have a God that knows how to win. We have a God that knows how to win every fight he's gotten in. God won the battle against the Pharaoh of Egypt when he needed to get the Jews out of bondage.
Right.
He had 10 little skirmishes, but guess what? On number 10, Pharaoh said, get them out of here. Pharaoh was no match, and the gods of Egypt were no match for our God.
Amen.
And he taught us how to fight. By the way, we fight by letting him fight for us.
Amen.
God won the battle of Jericho. You remember the story of the walls of Jericho came a-tumbling down? The Jews had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They've crossed the Jordan River. They're getting ready to go into Jericho, the first city. They were not to take anything out of Jericho. It was the first city of conquest. It was the tithe for God. It was the first 10. The Bible says that they were to encamp the city once a day for 6 days. They were supposed to walk around everybody around that city. On the seventh day, they were to march around 7 times. There was a certain order of everything going, first of which was the Ark of the Covenant, being carried on the shoulders of men. They were to walk around the walls of Jerusalem, or Jericho, 7 times. And then they were supposed to blow their trumpet and watch God win the battle. That's where Rahab had been. why she had put the scarlet rope out, and that's where they, only she and her family and her household were to be saved. Now watch this. Can you imagine for 6 days not speaking as they walked around that wall what the people of Jericho were saying to the Jews? Look at you crazy idiots. Think you're going to take us just by walking around? You casing the joint? Yep. For God. On the seventh day, they walked around once. They walked around twice. They walked around 3 times. 4 times. 5 times. 6 times. Can you imagine everybody in Jericho laughing at them? But guess what happened when they got around the 7th time? The Bible says that the walls came crashing down to the point where Jericho and the inhabitants ran away, and there was a great slaughter that day of those that did not get away. They weren't laughing anymore. It didn't make sense to walk around that building, around that wall 13 times. Once a day, every day for 6 days, and 7 times on the 7th day. Sometimes God's method doesn't make sense to man, but guess what? You fight it his way, you'll get complete victory.
Amen.
It didn't make sense for David to use a slingshot to go fight Goliath. But may I say this, he went in the power of God with what he had, and he sunk that old rock into the forehead of a great and mighty warrior and put him down, took his own sword out, and whacked his head off. Doesn't make sense why a 17-year-old boy had to go do what the King Saul was supposed to do, but he did it in the power of God, and look what happened.
Amen.
You see, we're not to fight with our methods. We're supposed to fight with God's methods. We're not supposed to defend ourselves our way. We're to defend ourselves with the armor of God. That means this: with truth and with righteousness, with salvation. Watch this. With the word of God. With the gospel. You see, we Christians think being quiet and passive is the way to win. No, armor is not there for being quiet and passive. War is not quiet and passive. If you're quiet and passive in war, you're going to be dead. In other words, we're supposed to teach our hands to fight. We're supposed to teach our fingers to fight. We're supposed to teach our arms to fight. That means we ought to be strong physically. I am 52 years old. I am not as strong as I was when I was 28 years old. Say why? A lot of battles have taken place. But can I tell you something? I want to keep myself as strong as I can to fight for as long as I can.
Amen.
I keep my health up, not just because I think that I should try to be healthy. It's because I have a lot of people that rely on me, and I must stay as healthy as I can. And please don't take this the wrong way. I love Brother Josh. I trust him with everything that I have, including this church. But it's not his job to pastor the church. It's my job. So I must keep myself as healthy as I can so that I may pastor this church. Everybody doing okay? Now I'm for him preaching. And I'll let him do it from time to time. But the bulk of the preaching ought to be done by the pastor. We shouldn't have special speakers every month just because I don't feel like preaching. I know churches where the pastor preaches less than everybody else. Now, if there's a health reason, that's one thing. But I'm talking about there's not a health reason. They're just too lazy to study. Everybody doing okay? You hired me as your pastor. You pay me a salary. I ought to do my job. I just believe in it. Everybody doing okay? I ought to keep myself strong for doing so. Need to keep my arms strong. my hands strong. Need to keep my mind strong. Need to keep my body strong. Say why? Because deer season's coming. Yeah, dragging them puppies takes a little bit of energy, amen? That helps me stay strong to pastor. Can I tell you something? There is a time to fight. I will fight tooth and nail the liberalism of our world today. I'll fight it with every fiber of my body. We're not going to let liberalism creep into Grace Baptist Church.
Amen.
I'll live and die by it. I'm too old to change.
Amen.
I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, preacher, you're just so old-fashioned. Thank you.
Amen.
And I'll fight for it. We're going to keep it that way. I'm not about to die someday and turn it over to some little twit that's going to change it.
Amen.
If this church ever changes after I'm dead and gone, I'm going to ask God for the levers and the switches to blow it up. And I happen to know where they are right now. One good place shot takes care of the whole thing. I am so sick and tired of watching great men of God build churches and watch the next generation change it. If it's good enough for now, it's good enough for the next generation. In other words, God wants us to use his armor. And not only that, he shows us how to use his armor by using it in his word. In Ephesians 6, he talks about it. In other words, we ought to speak in truth. We ought to preach the truth, not just let's have a little talk with Jesus. We ought to be teaching truth. We ought to stand on the truth. Folks, there's nothing more true than the word of God. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. You don't know what the word of God is, I can tell you what it is. It's the King James Bible for the English-speaking people.
Right.
Well, there's lots of versions out there. Yeah, that's man's interpretation of it. We don't need man's interpretation. By the way, the King James Bible is not copyrighted because man didn't write it, God did.
Amen.
All your other versions are copyrighted. Just so you know. Say why? So the Southern Baptists can make money. So the American Baptist Society can make money, and the Presbyterians and the Lutherans and all the others that have written their own Bibles.
Right.
Everybody doing okay? They're the ones that copyrighted it. The King James Bible is not copyrighted. Now, if you buy one that has a copyright on it, it's the notes that are copyrighted if you read it, and the referencing, but not the Bible itself. You cannot copyright the Bible. You say, why? Because God authored it and he didn't put a copyright on it.
Amen.
Number next, I got to hurry. God shows us that defending our country is right.
Amen.
He fought for the nation of Israel. That is a country. I am not going to turn to all these verses. I'm going to list them for you. If you want to write them down, you may. Exodus 14, 14 through 25. Deuteronomy 130. Deuteronomy 322. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 20. Joshua 23, verse 10. Isaiah 31, verse number 4. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Every one of those places talks about God defending the nation of Israel. Talks about him going to war for the nation of Israel.
Right.
And if you fought in war for your country, you did that which was right in the sight of God.
Amen.
Now listen to me very carefully here. We have an obligation to defend America.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Not to go around the world and apologize for it.
Right.
We are to defend our country.
Amen.
May I say this? If you had to defend our country in battle and you had to take other human life, you are not guilty of murder in God's eyes. You are defending your country.
Amen.
I deal with it. I talk to people. There's a difference in murder and war.
That's right. Big difference.
And I understand it. Well, what about these soldiers that had to kill children and women in battle? You don't know who your enemy was.
That's right.
You're listening to a liberal media.
That's right. Amen.
Everybody doing okay? Right. Let's go back to Vietnam.
Right.
We have video proof or movie proof that we murdered children. Do you know what the Viet Cong was doing to women and children? They strapped bombs on them and told them, the children, to go up and talk to the GI and ask for chocolate. When the soldier would reach in his pocket and give him his chocolate and reach out, the child would reach up and the bomb would detonate and kill our American soldiers. They did the same with the women. Now, you watch that happen enough, what are you going to do? Everybody doing okay?
That's right.
Do you know that before we bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that for 3 days before, we dropped leaflets from airplanes over those cities and told them that we were going to drop a bomb that would level the entire city. And if they were civilians, that they ought to leave the city.
Yep.
3 days before, on both of those cities. Now, wait a minute. It's not reported that way. Because their governments told them, oh, they're just trying to scare you. Well, there was a lot of death. We weren't trying to scare anybody. Well, I don't think President Truman should have given the order to drop the bomb. Guess what? The war stopped.
That's right. True.
There were many lives saved, even though many were lost. You play King of the Mountain, we won.
Amen.
The only way to stop them, by the way, the Japanese were far more ruthless than the Germans.
That's right. Yes, they were.
Far more. And the Chinese suffered millions and millions and millions of casualties. You have no idea what took place because man has rewritten history to wipe it out so that we just forget. We have an obligation to defend our country.
Amen.
Those of you that have stood in battle and fought for your country, some of you carry the scars with you mentally and physically. But may I say this, you don't have to face it spiritually because God already said it was your duty.
Amen.
And it's okay.
Amen.
You don't need to apologize for America. We ought to defend her.
Yes, sir.
I think anybody that won't stand for the national anthem, you just go ahead and slap them in the back of the head and tell them to stand up.
Amen.
Well, they have a right to sit down and you have a right to tell them to stand up.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? The last professional baseball game I went to, I slapped two people in the back of the head and said, get up. And they looked at me and I said, get up. Say, I don't think you ought to have done that. Okay, don't do it. But I did. I believe in America.
That's right.
I bleed red, white, and blue.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
Say, well, they have a right to sit down, and I have a right to tell them to stand up.
Amen.
Number four, I got to get off that point. God chooses his children as warriors.
Amen.
And only another military leader can choose people into the military. I want you to notice something. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. I love this. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Watch this. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Guess who chose you to be a soldier when you got saved? Your commanding officer, God himself. You got drafted. You may not have enlisted. You got drafted. Because you're either fighting for him or you're fighting against him. There's no middle ground. You can't be loyal. You're either disloyal or you're loyal. Because if you're not loyal to anything, you are disloyal. Everybody doing okay? Now hang on for a second. God is a recruiter, but God doesn't use deceptive methods. He doesn't say you'll travel to foreign lands and have great vacations. Sign here. You can sign up with your buddy and we'll put you through together. Yeah, right. You got drafted. And may I say something? According to the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible says there is no discharge in that war. You're not going to be discharged till you die. That's going to be it. Don't worry. She wasn't mad. She had to go to work. Everybody's worried. No, she didn't get offended. She's okay. She's going to work. Can I tell you something? The moment you get saved, you go from the devil's army to God's army.
Amen.
Whatever happened to us teaching our kids the song, I'm in the Lord's army? I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Boy, you teach that today and the liberals will think you're getting a militia together. That's exactly what we're doing. It's called the Lord's army. Dumb. The reason they're afraid of a militia is because they want to override you.
Right.
Owning guns in the Second Amendment was not for hunting. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
It's because we just fought our way out of the oppression of England.
That's right.
And England was restricting people's rights to own a weapon.
That's right.
Because they didn't want somebody rising up and fighting against the government. The Constitution of the United States of America is restrictive to the government.
That's right.
Not to the people.
Amen.
The guns were so that you could protect yourself from a government that took control of you without your rights being protected.
Amen.
Read it. Quit listening to what liberals tell you. Read it.
Amen.
Just like we ought to read the transcripts of the president's conversation, not listen to the liar Adam Schiff.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
I don't think you gotta say that. Then don't say it. I just did. We are supposed to recruit people into the army of God.
That's
what soul winning's all about. Can I tell you why churches quit soul winning? Because they don't want to fight. It's a spiritual battle. That's why most of them couldn't stir up a visitor, but once a year at Christmas time, maybe. And that's because somebody's baby was born through the year and hadn't been to church yet. That's the average church. Guess what? There's battle that goes with a church like ours. There is a price to pay. That means this. We ought to be telling others about Jesus Christ. We ought to be knocking on doors. We ought to be inviting friends and family and neighbors. And if you won't, get me the address. I'll go visit them. Say why? Because I'm in recruitment mode. I want them on the winning side. You see, we all need to invite somebody to come labor with us and fight with us. Can I tell you something? We Christians are good about inviting people to Christ, but when's the last time, men, you invited somebody to come prayer breakfast with you? Ladies, when's the last time you invited somebody to come to the ladies' meeting with you? I'm talking about within our own church. Well, they heard the announcement. Yeah, but maybe they want to be invited. How about you make yourself a company of one to invite them? Everybody doing all right? I'm talking about when's the last time you invited somebody to go soul winning with you? Instead of complaining about, there's only 20, 25 people who go out soul winning a week. Okay, then when's the last time you invited somebody to go with you? Well, I invited one person one time. Well, that's good. What about the other 52 weeks? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I've got to quit. My God is a warrior.
Amen.
He's not a veteran. Because he's still fighting.
Amen.
But he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the God Almighty and he is the Lord of Hosts.
Right.
He will always be active duty. And as he said in Ecclesiastes, there is no discharge in that war.
Amen.
If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ought to... I hate to tell you something. If you're not saved, you're fighting in the wrong army.
That's right.
Because you're fighting on the devil's side.
Right.
You will die and go to hell if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I didn't say it. The Bible did.
Amen.
To you Christians, it's about time some of you picked up the armor of God. Right there it is. Some of us ought to put the armor on and start fighting. Some of you have been sitting on your blessed assurance doing nothing. It's time to do something for God. On a day of battle and day of veteran recognition, let me ask you a question. If you were put on trial for being Christian, could you be found guilty? Would anybody know? How about we decide we're going to just jump in. We're going to put on God's armor. We're going to join the fight. Now, you're welcome here whether you do or you don't. Just so you know, it's going to be a fighting church.
Amen.
We're going to be fighting the devil. We're going to be fighting sin. We're going to be fighting wrong. We're going to be fighting modernism and liberalism. I'm going to fight for truth. I'm going to fight for righteousness. I'm going to fight for God. I'm going to tell it like it is. You say, why? Because... you don't have time to pussyfoot in battle. You either kill or get killed. And I don't plan being shot at. I plan on doing the shooting. Yeah. Let's let the devil's crowd be the heroes. Let's live. I don't plan to go on Fox's Book of Martyrs. I plan on going Guinness Book of World Record. Amen? Can I tell you something? We need to get involved in the battle.
Yes,
sir. Our God is a warrior. He told us to put on the armor that he himself wears.
Amen.
Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could take care of that today. If you've been saved and baptized and like to join our church, we'd love to have you. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the most important thing you could ever do. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I know 100% sure, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. You may put them down.